Tom Brady wins the MVP, you say that's what?
Can I say
shut up and sit down.
Inside Wisconsin is brought to you by Bay Care Clinic, Cobblestone Creek, the University of Wisconsin-Prattville, Millhome Supper Club, Festival Foods, Capital Credit Union, North Star Mohican Casino Resort, American Family Insurance, Roltec, and by Miller Lite.
What's up, Wisconsin? Happy Packer playoff time. Yes, from the Inside Wisconsin studios, 10 minutes away from Lambeau Field. I brag about that a lot.
My
name is Trevor Thomas. Are you coming back, J.A. from Connecticut?
Tickets have already been sent to my nieces and their spouse, so they will be there. One's flying in from Dallas, where no doubt she enjoyed the pain and misery all her Texan friends are in. Texas friends are in. The other one's coming up from Milwaukee. They're significant others, so they're in good hands. They have not gone on the open market so that some, you know,
they better never go on the open market.
He can roll in here and take over my spot.
If those tickets hit the market, we're in trouble. I thought we were better friends than that. Don't ever sell those. Come on, at least I'll take your mom if I.
My mom's got her business taken care of.
Okay, so,
but it looks like I'm free for the championship game. If they end up there, I believe I have four for that.
And I would love for you to come back. I think that would be pretty fun.
I will not be back. I actually am going to go to South Carolina and play golf with some buddies and get out of the cold.
Fine. I'll take one for the team if I have to. Hey, speaking of out of the cold,
yeah,
the game's on Saturday. I know that some of you might listen to this. We will not be out of the cold. But there was a time, and you may remember this, the NFC Championship game, I believe 2007, 2008, I could not drink my Miller Lite without it freezing. Like, there was no chance. I mean, maybe I should partake quicker and responsible, of course, but I feel bad, John, for our friends at Festival Foods, the official tailgating headquarters of Lambeau Field, because
why?
It's stupid cold outside this time of year. I understand we're all Wisconsinites and we can tailgate in the freezing weather, but it's different when your face freezes off and your summer sausage is frozen. You can't drink your beer fast enough. Like, maybe that was just me venting.
Yeah, maybe. I guess, and I haven't been there for January tailgate in some time, but I feel like people are a hardy lot. They can figure it out and they manage to, right? They'll set up some sort of a structure. You can warm yourself by the big, I love the big culverts that are turned on the edge, like hot coals only, right? Like, you go stick your head in there. people have the, crock pots and warming. Like, I don't know. I don't know that it's ever deterred us before, and I don't know it's going to be so cold that it's going to get in the way of anybody. But if not, go to my friend Byron's house over on the corner there of Oneida and Lombardi.
So today's guest on Inside Wisconsin is Wes Hodkiewicz, Green Bay's own Wes Hodkiewicz, that now is the digital reporter for Packers.com. And
yeah, how much does he know, really?
A lot. It turns out he knows a lot, almost as much as you do, Mr. Sports Encyclopedia.
Knows a lot.
There's an interesting piece of banter, though, John. I want to get your take on this before we jump in, about Wes being born here and landed his dream job here. And there you are sitting in Connecticut.
Wait, I hate
your mom gives you. Yeah, you can't get back home, huh?
It was. I've told this story a million times, and I don't know if I've told it here yet. And if I am, bear with me. So I had a chance once. I've had several chances to return home.
Yeah.
Right? One time they didn't hire me. One time they offered to, but so did ESPN. My favorite story, though, was very early on, and I applied for a job in Milwaukee, and John Anderson was actually working there right after he had retired, and he spent time in the media. John Anderson was working there in Milwaukee, and I sent my resume tape back then. Now you just click and send a reel, through the internet. And the guy said, "We kind of like your work. We're wondering, though, there's already a John Anderson. Would you change your name?"
Oh, jeez.
Which is not uncommon, right? I don't know. Do you know who Dan Pugh is?
I believe that's Dan Patrick.
Dan Patrick, right? He used his first and his middle name, Dan Patrick. So Dan Pugh. So the guy said, and I thought I was really funny, and this is the case as my mother and my wife and a lot of people tell me, no, John, you're not funny. So the guy said, would you consider changing your name? And I said, sure. How about Bart Starr? And
didn't go over well?
He did not think it was funny, and I did not get the job. So I've never been able to get home. So I envy Wes in that regard. It's great. You know, as much as I like where I am now, there are times when it'd be neat to say, hey, kids, go over to grandma's, or, you know, bounce into Kroll's whenever I wanted, or Culver's, or any of those places that I have to try to eat all at once, Sammy's Pizza in one weekend. So you go away feeling horrible because you, man, cannot eat at all these places in one day or day and a half. But, you know, good for him. And listen, I think it takes somebody with that background. I'm not saying you can't, but the guy like Rob Domofsky, who works for us and writes for the Pack, but he's been there 18 years. So he's got a feel. But what Wes does is, to some degree, even though it's newfangled because it's on the interwebs, like that's a public trust where he's at and what he covers, and there's responsibility with that. And God bless him. I think they got the right guy in there to handle that and to tell their story and to inform people what's going on with the franchise that they love so dearly.
Heaven forbid you move home and shop at a Festival Foods. Future Packer historian Wes Hodkowitz.
Yeah, we're going to talk that right into existence.
Yeah, it's happening.
Shut up and sit down.
And so here he is, Wes Hodkowitz. We know how to say Wes and spell Wes. Hodkowitz, different story, at Wes Hod on Twitter. Wes with Packers.com, the digital reporter. Good to see you, buddy. Thanks for being here.
Nice to see you, too. And I appreciate you guys having me on, a who's who of Wisconsin sports personalities. I got to check out Wayne's episode, too, before. So I'm excited to join you.
To the beginning, Wes Hodkowitz, Howard, Wisconsin, Green Bay, Wisconsin, from there to Packers.com, man. I mean, like, you and I have talked about this in the past. We've known each other well over a decade now. That's a hell of a run. You're a Green Bay kid going to work every day at Lambeau Field. Tell us about that.
Yeah, pretty nuts, man. You know, I was blessed and fortunate enough after I graduated from Bayport in 06 that I got linked up with Mike Vandermoss in the Green Bay Press Gazette. That's later that summer. So I was able to go in there and worked as a sports clerk for 4 years in that capacity, and then was lucky enough to become a reporter over there. So I actually worked for the Press Gazette for 10 years before these guys in April 16 actually brought me on board. So yeah, it's for a kid from here, and obviously, you know, John's a gold standard for that, but to be able to work in your market. And I know so many people in the journalism field, so many reporters that have had to go to all different corners of the United States to make their, you know, childhood dream a reality. The fact I've been able to do it within Brown County the entire time has been pretty emotional. But yeah, it's been a great run, and certainly now we got another playoff run among us, and seeing where this thing takes this team.
You mean like if you have to go to Oklahoma or Arizona and live in Connecticut? Listen, it's people like you that get me yelled at by my mom all the time. Well, Wes found a job at home. I don't know why you can't, John. Wes is right there. He makes it home all the time. Yeah, you put all kinds of pressure. It's just, yeah, we should be natural enemies, but we're not. We are into the playoff run. Finally, we're here. How the hell did that happen? Because I don't know if you remember, this was in the paper over the summer. Aaron Rodgers wasn't going to play. He was going to be a Bronco or something. Jordan Love was unprepared. It was going to be disaster, and we avoided that disaster. But then we had some COVID and immunity. Like, it is the most amazing thing to somehow end up exactly where we were a year ago. We got 13 wins, and they're the number one seed, despite all this other stuff. As you were going through this over the months, how did we get here?
Yeah, I think, well, first and foremost, the story that I always told, and I remember talking with Trevor about this too a little bit during the summer, as much of the outside narrative was about what was going to happen with Aaron Rodgers. Where is he going to stay? Is he going to go? Is he not going to come back? We're not sure. I, at the end of the day, I always kind of believed that training camp was going to become the deadline. And once we got there, I always felt relatively confident that Rodgers would report for that. And honestly, you know, since that domino fell, it's just been all systems go, everything moving forward. And in the Packers case, it was a really crazy 8 months. But once I think Rodgers understood what this team was capable of in the locker room that was back. And I think he was with that the entire time. He knows Mercedes Lewis, what, you know, Sadie's has riding on this season. He understands the amount of guys that are going to be free agents after this year. He knows that they've been building up to this moment, and he's really in lockstep with that. So, and I think throughout the course of the year, it's only gotten better. the guy I always continue to single out, though, is Matt LaFleur, because he's a guy that in a lot of cases doesn't get enough, in my opinion, respect for the job he's done here over the last 3 years. You know, NFL Coach of the Year, a lot of times, guys, it is about, okay, sort of the flavor of the month. Who had the biggest turnaround? LaFleur's not asking for any bouquets or roses or anything like that. But for him to keep this team together, keep their kind of eyes set on what the ultimate goal was, regardless of whether or not Rodgers was here during the summer, regardless of the injuries that happened during the season, it is a job well done by him as well as the rest of this team in that locker room to be able to put themselves back in a position to win a championship now. It's crazy to go back to back as the number one seed in the NFC. That is not easy to do, and yet here the Packers are.
When all of that stuff, Wes, happens on the field and off the field, and there's so much opinion and negative news and the negative talk and is he or isn't he and immunized or vaccinated and all this stuff, at the end of the day, your paycheck gets signed by the same guy that signs his paycheck.
True.
How do you report on that in-house and still be relevant yet different than everybody else gets to report on it? That's got to be awkward.
Yeah, the one thing I've really enjoyed, because I got to do that side of it too when I was at the Press Gazette. I mean, whether it was, you know, guys off the field situations, arrests, that, you know, I was in that racket. So the one thing I remember myself and my colleague Mike Spoff, we really talked about is, okay, we'll focus on what's in front of us and who's saying what. And that's the number one thing in terms of my position. It's like, we're not purposely going to sit there and try to deceive people or misdirect things or make things seem to be something that maybe they really aren't. We're just going to let people speak for what they say. And, you know, one of the things was when Rodgers addressed this stuff, I think a lot of our stories, if you go back and look at it, were basically around the headlines of, this is what Aaron Rodgers is saying. This is what Matt LaFleur is saying. This is what the organization is saying. And then trying to move forward from that. The one area where maybe we, you know, kind of deviate a little bit from is, we're not sitting here discussing it in terms of like our opinions on it or how is it going to, you know, go this way? Because there's all different types of Packer fans, and we try to appeal to the masses and being able to give people a place that they can come to enjoy their team, because it isn't just the United States. I mean, one of the things we're very blessed with is it's all around the world. We got readers. So we had the comment section. We got different people that, you know, our Q&As that they can say whatever their opinion is. But, you know, us, as we're trying to keep it somewhat focused on, you know, this team and where things are at and just kind of saying where these people are coming from. And beyond that, people can kind of, you know, make up their minds.
Yeah.
Listen, I, as someone who is, you know, hardcore journalism, doesn't work for a team, even though I work for a company that, I don't know, heavily invested in the SEC and heavily invested in the college football playoff and all these other things. Right. So there's always tentacles. I do think Jim Lehrer, who Trevor, another great Missouri guy, but he always used to say there is room in every newscast. And I think, you know, for the terms of this discussion, I say that there's room for news and opinion, and there is new for comments.
Yeah.
But he said you just need to clearly define those. And that's where people get in trouble. And that's where I think sometimes we get in trouble. Like the reason Stephen A. Smith and everybody works on Get Up or Get Face Talk or whatever it's called, that show. It's not Get Up. It's the other one. What's it called? First Take. The reason that works is because I know when I go there, I'm clearly getting opinion.
Yep.
So I don't get it confused. If I was to do that same thing on SportsCenter, then it's out of place. So at least when I read what's on Packers.com, I don't necessarily think it's all through a green and gold lens, but at least I do know here, this is from the Green Bay Packer website. And so I think that helps. I don't know if you feel that way, Wes, but I think that's so, since it's clearly delineated, it's easier to go through that. What I want to know is, do you ever go, wait, I work for you people, how can I not get access to that dude? Like, that's ridiculous. I had a great friend who worked for the Oklahoma City Thunder, and that was her thing. I'm like, wait, I'm working for you. Why can't I talk to Kevin Durant today?
Yeah, that's the difficulty with the age of COVID too, because when, you know, my first 4 years here, it was a lot, you know. For example, I'll give you a quick story. Today, I actually set up a story with Mercedes Lewis. I'm actually doing a story on him next week, and we did it through Zoom. I mean, I think Mercedes is probably about maybe 100 yards from where I was sitting, but that's just the life we're living right now. That is probably the part that really hurts the most, because I miss being able to just kind of go down in the locker room and build those relationships, because we're all in our different tiers, and I'm currently not in one before I was tested every single day, like a lot of the other media. And we've kind of had to make that type of shift. And yeah, it's the difficult thing in where you have days where I really do miss that aspect of it, because there's some great relationships and trust that I think has been built with a number of different players in that regard. And we all kind of had to adjust to it. But one thing that's been cool about the Packers is they, for the most part, they really have done a great job. And now this day and age of trying to facilitate some of those things and understanding that, you know, when I came over from the Press Gazette to work here, my goal was to take what I felt like I did well at the Press Gazette and just make it fit for Packers.com. Allow player, you know, give players faces instead of just face masks and kind of be able to bring their stories out. And that's something I really enjoy doing. It just stinks that, you know, obviously, like anything, you know, it's had to be curtailed somewhat because of the current situation we find ourselves in.
I think that's fascinating, Wes, that you're trying to give them a face and not just the face mask, because that's kind of our MO here on Inside Wisconsin. Yeah. It's about the people and the stories and the statriotism and not what they did, but who they are. Is there a favorite player or story that you've been able to bring to life thus far that's outside of the X's and O's that you're like, damn, I want people to know more about this guy or that guy or this family, or what is that?
Yeah, for me, it was back in 19, right before we started the whole pandemic. There was a practice squad player by the name of Mitchell Henry, and it's the story that I think I could probably work for another 30 years, and I don't know if I'll ever have one that really was as important to me as that. Mitchell was just your typical, you know, Western Kentucky undrafted free agent trying to make the roster, and spent a couple years on the practice squad. Actually ended up getting claimed when he got cut the second time around, got claimed by the Denver Broncos, spent some time there, and eventually worked his way back. Unfortunately, you know, he ended up having a very rare form of cancer that got diagnosed while he was going through one of his physicals. I believe it was with the Baltimore Ravens. It's been a little bit since I worked on the story. But long story short, I made a bet with him. He's a cat fisherman. And during his first original run, when he was a UFA in 15, I made a tongue-in-cheek bet. I was like, well, if you end up making the 53, I'll go down to your hometown just outside of Louisville, and I'll do a story on catfishing. And unfortunately, Mitchell ended up passing away in 2017, 24 years old. And I wrote in our Insider Inbox Q&A, a column that we write every day, and I just recounted that story because someone had basically asked me if there was a story I ever regretted not doing. And I said it was that one. I wish I would have had that opportunity. Well, his dad, Terry, ended up finding that what I wrote up, you know, and sent us a letter saying that he'd be, you know, he hasn't been catfishing since Mitchell passed, but it would be his honor to bring me along with him. So right after the draft in 2019, the Packers drafted Rashawn Gary, Darnell Savage. Right after everything wrapped up, myself and my colleague, Mike Vandersnick, we got on a plane and went down to Kentucky the day after and spent 3 days down there. Ended up going catfishing with Terry and his son, Ben, Mitchell's brother, and then also had a chance to you know, spend some time with his wife, his widow, and the whole thing together. I wrote a story in June of 19 and also did an electronic, you know, like a whole package and everything. And that, to me, Trevor, that's probably the story. Like I had one of my best friends in the business, Michael Cohen, actually said to me afterwards, he's like, the reason that one was so good is because that could have fit in any newspaper, could have fit in any website. Didn't have to be from a team website. And that one's always meant quite a bit to me.
Yeah, it's awesome. Wow.
As Wright Thompson always says, you know, like there's two kinds of stories. There's pearls that have to be cultured and kind of grown. And then there are diamonds where you just want to buff them and just get out of the way.
Yeah.
And I have no doubt that you did that with great aplomb. But, you know, you get that and you just think sometimes the weight of that, I don't mean to make this a big, heavy journalism thing, but right. Sometimes the weight of that is really difficult because you get attached to it. And like, I so want to get this right. And then the end of think, if I just write it down, what happened, it has all the weight it needs.
It's absolutely
that kind of story.
You just try to stay out of the way with it. And that's the biggest thing that I think I've tried to bring in with my writing, whether it was at the Press Gazette or whether it's now. It's allowing players and individuals to tell their side of things and not make the story about me, but make it about them. And I think in my estimation and in my opinion, the best journalists have been around, the best writers, the best reporters are the people that can do that. And that's just, you know, it's on the heavier side, Trevor. I have some fun stories too that happened over the years that I enjoyed and were on the lighter side. But that's one of them that I think when you think about what you do, and I'm sure John feels the same way in his field, when you think about why you do these things, what gets you up in the morning beyond the paycheck, beyond anything else, that's what stands out to you. And that's sort of the thing that has been, you know, one of my big takeaways.
It is Wes Hodkiewicz, digital reporter, Packers.com. We're just going to tell everybody you run Packers.com, even if it's not true, because we're just going to roll with that.
I like that. I like that idea.
Good deal. We're back in a minute on Inside Wisconsin.
Inside Wisconsin is brought to you by BayCare Clinic, Cobblestone Creek, the University of Wisconsin-Platteville, Mill Home Supper Club, Festival Foods, Capital Credit Union, North Star Mohican Casino Resort, American Family Insurance, Roltec, and by Miller Lite.
Helpful critiques, ideas, great stories, people we should know, the great bar in your town, the fish fry you want to know, the fish boil, anything that you want to reach out to us with. We are happy. We are here. You can be the inputters. We're here to listen.
We are back inside Wisconsin with a quick word from our friends at Miller Lite. John, it's Packers
playoffs. Beer.
Beer. It's Packers playoffs. A few good friends or 72,000. It all goes together with our friends at Miller Lite. You just got to drink it before it freezes, because that's kind of how Wisconsin winter beer drinking goes, J.A.
And you have to spell it correctly, too. L-I-T-E.
Yeah.
Right? Don't get confused.
No. We won't even know. It's L-I-T-E, Miller Lite, beer that actually tastes like beer for Wisconsin winter.
I'm down with that.
Since 1975, Miller Lite has been the beer with the taste you can depend on. No games, no gimmicks, just great beer for great people who actually like beer that tastes like beer. What was 1975 like, John?
Okay, first off, I'm gonna put away that you just tried to insult me by my age. Ageism. I can't believe ageism has worked its way on this show. I'll just tell you, what's the most significant sporting thing that happened in 1975?
Not a clue.
And with the fourth pick in the NFL draft, the Chicago.
Oh, geez. How do we talk about when we're talking about Miller Lite?
We're just talking about Walter Payton.
Here we go. 75 was a good year, okay, other than Walter Miller Payton. Lite in
Chicago, just out of curiosity.
Yeah, two, three, maybe. Miller Lite, great taste, 96 calories. Go to MillerLite.com/InsideWisconsin to find delivery options near you. You can have Miller Lite delivered? I love this stuff.
Haven't you seen the trucks everywhere? I guess those are going to liquor stores, but maybe, maybe they're going to your house.
We got problems. Celebrate responsibly, as in celebrate a Packers playoff victory responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, 96 calories and 3.2 carbs per 12 ounces. Go Pack. Between segments with our guy, Wes Hodkiewicz. H-O-D-K-I-E-W-I-C-Z.
Right. It's pronounced Antetokounmpo.
Yeah, that's exactly. I was just going to say Antetokounmpo. Hey, we're going to bypass our top five list. By the way, thanks to everybody online that engaged with your favorite Packer playoff moments. J.A., there was a bunch, and there was some that I know that you were at back in the day when younger John Anderson had less responsibilities. But today, we're just going to talk real quick about what we believe could happen.
Yes.
And we're like 3 days away from one of us either being really wrong or really, really right. So, Mr. Encyclopedia, why don't you go first? Tell us what the Packers playoffs look like.
I feel like they got the worst draw they possibly could have gotten.
Totally agree.
Right? I would so much rather have seen the Cardinals, because I think they're in the tank and I don't trust Cliff Kingsbury anyway.
Yeah.
I think they've already taken care of the Rams, and that the Rams have been here, and I think they'd have had a shot at them. Recent history with the 49ers is cruel.
Not good.
Shanahan is a smart cookie, and they can run the ball. Like Matt Hasselbeck says, Tim Hasselbeck said, the things that they install in day one that they want to do are the things that drive the Packers nuts, which is they just want to pound you into submission. Then they can play action to make Garoppolo better, and then they can get it to the outside guys. But the things they do every day, the things they want to do, are the things that hurt the Packers, or at least challenge the Packers the most. And that is, they have a running game that is, it can be pile driverish, it can be clever, it can be finesse, it can be all these, it can be misdirection, which, you know, God bless the Packers, you want to pursue to that ball, and it can be used against them. So that part of it drives me nuts. I'd rather have seen any of the other teams they could have had there, and they get this one. That said, if they can somehow do that, and you put the game on Jimmy G's racket, then I feel fine.
Right? True.
Aaron's racket, then I feel great. If you put it on Jimmy's racket, if I'm San Francisco people, you go, oh, no. And if you're the Packers, like, that's what we'd like to do. Let's make it, let's literally make it Aaron against Jimmy G. and then
we
they
win that
on top. So yeah, I think it's going to be a really hard game. I don't think the weather intimidates people like it used to, because you don't stand. They got heaters. They've got all these other things that they can make people still a bit more comfortable when it comes through. So I think the Packers can still score their 30, 31 points.
Okay.
I just hope that they can keep San Francisco to 28 or fewer. And hopefully they get like Jimmy G throwing a nice fourth quarter pick like he did and put the Cowboys back in the game.
I really wanted the Cowboys. Can I be? I really
well, you
wanted
get them yet. You got to get, they would have to come in the championship.
I know. I just, first off, I didn't want the 49ers to your point. I definitely wanted the Rams or the Cardinals. But if
you wanted down the line.
Yeah, I did. And by the way, if you're Mike McCarthy, do you not make the buses take Mike McCarthy way to Lambeau Field? At least I would have. All right, back to this weekend. So, yes, if it's on Aaron Rodgers' arm, we win. If it's on Garoppolo's arm, we win. Here's my question and part of my prediction. If it's on Mason Crosby's foot, do we win?
Sure. I'm good with
him.
I'm good with
him. I am too.
I'm ready to go.
Hey, we all have hiccups, right? He's had two bad years in his entire year, and this just happens to be in his entire time with Green Bay. This just happens to be one of them. Here's my prediction. A game-winning field goal in the snow on Saturday night at Lambeau Field. Packers win 27-24. What do you got?
I told you. I think it'll be 31-28. I like to think that it'll play from ahead. I don't think it comes down to a game-winning field goal, even though it's a field goal margin.
All right, that's fine. And this now lives for about 72 hours until either we're really right and we're on to the NFC Championship game, or we do some post-production editing and none of this ever happened. Right.
And our boy Wes, because of his position, it's kind of like when Herbie is doing the game on game day, like, here's Coach Corso. Everybody gets to talk. Herbie doesn't have to make a pick. We don't have to put Wes in that position. He doesn't have to make a pick. That would be –
we'll let him be.
But we don't want to trust the company. You know, we don't want to bring that. He can't – we're not allowed – he can't do that. We don't want to put him in that spot.
No, we're not going to. The Packers Radio Network will, but we're not going to for now. Back to Wes.
Shut up and sit down.
And we are back. Listen, we haven't been gone so long that I have to keep going in. We're just going to – here's Wes, who's never really left. Digital reporter. So, again, Trevor, I know you're fascinated by the Packers and I by the journalism. Because the digital reporter part of it, how long did it take to get used to the majority of your things are not in the paper, this tactile feel, right? I've gotten used to, like, I might be on someone's phone or their TV, but it takes a minute. How long did it take for you to go, wait, I don't have it in my hands. Is it really a thing?
Yeah, it's taken me honestly about probably 12 years. I remember in October of 2009, the Green Bay Press Gazette forced me and all the other guys to get Twitter accounts, and I did not want to get a Twitter account. Did not understand the point of it. Didn't know why I would be trying to put my stories on this social media thing rather than just telling people to read the paper or go to our website. But that's been the transition. And the thing that's fun about it, too, is like with the way I went to University of Wisconsin Green Bay here in town, too. So I'm true and true Green Bay. And, you know, the way my degree worked, I was a communications major, but they have all these different emphases. And I didn't do broadcasting at all. And I would never say I'm a broadcaster. We've all been thrust into that role now because it's not just about what we write. My first 9 or 10 years at the Press Gazette, I don't know if my face was ever even in the paper, let alone, you know, being told to go do podcasts or do videos or things like that. But that's become what this thing is now. So when I got hired here in 16, I originally started as a staff writer, and just, it was kind of the snowball effect over the last 3 years where it was just more and more type of, you know, live streaming and Q&As and, you know, doing pep rallies and things of that nature. So eventually the position kind of grew into that. So you got to be a multimedia journalist in 2022. It's the way things are. And it's just, you got to be willing to adapt to it and at least try to bring your personality into it. I'm not ever going to say I'm a professional. I'm no John Anderson, but I just try to make sure that I'm Wes.
Know what that means. But I just know it's different. And my guys that worked at paper all the time, and they're like, now I get it, but it's just, I publish something and now my phone starts beeping. And so I know people are watching it, but he goes, for so many of us, and I say, so I'm 56. Like I still like, I still like to see it in the paper. You know, there's something, and you're old enough still that, you know, a byline meant something.
Absolutely.
In the paper, and now it's completely a different deal. So, Trevor, I'm sure you have some sort of Packer nonsense that you'd like to get to, though.
I love – so, well, he was mentioning earlier that he was probably sitting 100 yards away from where Mercedes Lewis was sitting, and it is not lost on me, Wes, that you're sitting in Lambeau Field, right? I mean, and you're behind the scenes in Lambeau Field. You are places where people will dream to be every single day and never get to. So what are some of the behind-the-scenes things about working inside Lambeau Field that Wisconsin would die to know? Pick a few.
The coolest thing is still watching game days come together. That is by far walking in. Yes, the smell of brats in the air and all that stuff, and just hearing people go nuts outside is great. But once you walk in the stadium and just see, you know, the officials' meetings, the even the testing for like the national anthem. I mean, just to see how all these different elements come together just for a football game. That was a thing that until I started covering the team full time in 2012, that I never really appreciated. And then just seeing a bowl with absolutely no humanity in it, no bodies, gradually fill up to almost 80,000 is still one of the coolest things that I think I've ever experienced. And that's the fun part. You know, when you write the stories, you do the press conferences, it's long days during the season, 6 months, usually the way this has worked with the Packers recently without stop. But those are the days that I think you kind of long for. And then also just, I don't see it as much now, but the inner workings of a locker room. And, you know, when we were down there and, you know, I used to be able to eat in the team cafeteria before COVID, just seeing guys come in and the relationships that are formed off that and the conversations and, you know, the Green Bay Packers, their facilities there, it's not like the Dallas Cowboys or something. Everything's just sort of right there. The weight room is right next to the lobby. The lobby is right next to the cafeteria. The cafeteria is right next to the player lounge. Across the hall is the locker room. Everything is right there. And, you know, that is, you know, you see the outside, you see the guys in the uniform, you see all that stuff, but everything that goes into those 3 hours every Sunday is, I think, to me, one of the most awe-inspiring type things of covering the National Football League.
Wes, you and I go back, ironically, all three of us were probably at the Green Bay Bullfrog Stadium in 2010 for John Anderson Bobblehead Night.
That's true.
You have been here for a really long time. And you've covered a thing or two from basketball to junior hockey and now the Packers. Is it ever lost on you, man, that you literally do drive to Lambeau Field for work every day? I mean, you grew up here. You went by the facade as a kid. And now you park in the parking lot and walk in and get paid to go there. I mean, like from a Wisconsin, I don't know, Wisconsinite standpoint, that just doesn't compute for me. Well, tell us about that.
Yeah, that's the wildest thing. I mean, 16 minutes from Lambeau to my house, assuming that's not the 5 o'clock, you know, traffic there between Lombardi and Mason.
Then it's 18.
Then it really backs up. Wow. No, but I want to tell this story quick because, and this isn't just the shine on John, you know, with it being your guy's show, but you know, I'm 5'0", 100 and nothing. I was never an athlete past sixth grade. I did curling in high school. I mean, I there's no athletic paralysis in my body whatsoever. But, you know, a lot of kids in Green Bay grew up wanting to be Aaron Rodgers, you know, Brett Favre. I wanted to grow up being John Anderson. You know, I wanted to grow up being, you know, Stuart Scott and Kenny Mayne. And I wanted – this is what I wanted to do. I love sports, and it didn't have to be the Packers. I loved covering high school wrestling. I loved covering the Green Bay Gamblers and St. Norbert Hockey. And those are things that when I got my teeth into a beat, I really enjoyed. And to be able to have the opportunities to climb this thing up and not get laid off at any point, like, you know, unfortunately, a lot of my friends and peers in the journalism newspaper industry, it's kind of happened to them over the years. That is something, Trevor, that I never take for granted. And the fact that I've been blessed and fortunate enough to actually work here, to have a desk right outside the studio, to be able to write any story I want. Like, that's the other thing too. People always talk about, well, you work for the team and that. I can write any feature I want. Nobody ever tells me, okay, you got to write this on Aaron Rodgers. You got to write this on Davante Adams. If I think there's something cool I can do and I can execute it, I have the leniency to be able to do that. And that's the only thing I've ever wanted to do. I love telling stories. I love covering sports. And I just love being able to find a way to actually make a living off of that. And to be able to stay in Green Bay. I have so many of my friends that have had to do internships in Seattle and in New York and been down in Florida and back, and to be able to be here for this thing the entire way. Oh, that's a dream come true. That's what, that way you draw it up when you're trying to have a vision of what you want to do for a living.
Well, listen, we need to hook you up with Kenny because he'll just make you laugh and he'll tell you how he knows Dave Craig from Tiny Milton College, which is one of his favorites. And there was no better human being than Stuart Scott. I miss him every single day. There's pictures of he and John Saunders, not many, but I make sure when I go to the calf, I touch those every time just to stay connected when you go through. What is deadline in this job?
Yeah.
Right. Cause it's different.
Yeah. It's making sure I get home at some point. You know, that's everyone always jokes about, you know, newspapers has changed now, right? Because it's not really even the same thing. When I was left the Press Gazette, we still were trying to, you know, the actual Hail Mary in Detroit in 15 happened. And I was trying to write a running game story on that. And then everything changed and Richard Rodgers caught that ball, right? And I was always trying to hit that. We don't have that anymore, being in a website-based sort of element. There wasn't a print, you know, deadline. You're not trying to get anything out to go anywhere. But I do have a lot of interns around me and I have a boss around me. They all want to go home and see their families at some point. So that almost pushes me a little bit more than maybe even back during the newspaper days and in trying to make sure we get things out. But, you know, all joking aside, it is about immediacy. And the thing is, especially in this day and age with as many different outlets as are out there, you want to be able to get your information, your content up as quickly as possible, especially after games. I mean, you know, a good friend of mine and mentor that works for ESPN.com now, Rob Domofsky, he has his thing where he's getting his final gamer up, you know, his recap story up almost immediately after the game ends. And then he has to go, you know, do the news conferences and the Zoom calls. That's the way things are now. It's not just collecting your quotes and, you know, going back up and getting a soda pop and some popcorn and then casually writing. You're cramming. So that's probably the thing that pushes you the most, knowing that the sooner you get something up, the more eyeballs will be on your product.
So, yeah, Domofsky, A-plus dude, right? He can't beat him. So Pete Doherty, Missouri, same class. Mm-hmm. I don't know that he remember, but we spent time in bars at Blues games many times. A mutual friend by a guy named Steve McCall. Congratulations for being in that group and keeping your head of hair. Right? That's amazing compared to those other, two class. Right, but yeah, Trevor, you'd fit right in. You should have been Wes is the guy that doesn't fit with that group when they come through. But think about it. How are you going to get to the cream of the crop at Missouri? I'm there. Doherty's there. Pat Forty's there. Listen, people, we meant business back in the day in the mid '80s when we came through. Those guys are terrific, but you work every day in the same place as the guy that I read when I grew up. In Cliff Crystal. Now, by the way, back when I got Packer coverage, it wasn't like you guys are amazing. In training camp, they're like, Jordan Love today was 12 of 14 on passes in a 7-on-7 drill. Like, you guys put everything down. Like, before, I'm like, we never knew what David Whitehurst was throwing in 7-on-7 drills. And that was when they, you know, it was caveman type stuff. But to work with Cliff Crystal, who is a guy that is like, listen, first off, you're not writing for the Jacksonville Jaguars, right? You are a piece of history, and I'm sure that is part of your thought every day when you step into that building, that you're a 100-plus-year legacy in this. But what has Cliff Crystal been like to work with and sort of be in contact with and just this encyclopedic knowledge of this franchise?
Yeah, Cliff, I love Cliff. Man, I hope you guys, maybe at some point we can talk to him and have you guys get him on. Cause, man, I get kind of emotional about it. I've known Cliff for a long time, never worked with him. He was wrapping up his career right when I basically was starting it, but him and Pete are really close. So I got to know Cliff, pretty early on. And, I remember being so intimidated by him at first cause he's an imposing guy. And if you know anything about his stories, I mean, he can tell you some incredible stories. Cliff is a bulldog through and through. He is as hardcore of a journalist as you're ever going to find. He wants to get information right. And as you mentioned, you know, this organization's and this franchise's history is so rich and so deep. And Cliff wants to make sure that it's correct. He just wrote a, you know, 1,000-page book at his age, you know, to make sure that he gets that right. But it's also how humble he is and how much he is such a throwback to guys that you're talking about bylines. Guys that just wanted to be able to report the news and just be able to give people accurate, trustworthy information. I don't think Cliff would have ever cared to be in front of a camera. I don't think Cliff ever felt like he needed to be a brand. He just wanted to be able to be a bulldog and do what he loved doing. And he's wired differently too, man. I mean, he went down to the felt so many times with guys, and he did not back down from those fires. And from just a human standpoint, and how much the Green Bay area means to him, how much, you know, Green Bay East means to him, you're never going to find a better human being. And for a guy like me, that is just a 30 something nobody that is just kind of scratched and clawed to be where he's at, you know, being able to go to Cliff for anything, any Packers history type stuff, and have that kind of conversation, it's a treat. And honestly, these last 6 years of being able to work alongside him has just been incredible.
We got to finish one up here real quick. If you thought I was spinning, I was like, no, I have a follow up with this.
Got it.
Because I don't buy this humility, which is great that I'm a nobody. But if you're 30 and you follow this, right, think about this. Here's a franchise that is a century old. But we're going to trace this line. And if you don't feel this pressure, I hope you go home and you have it now for the next 15 days. But literally, if you go the Press Gazette and the Pack relationship, we go Lee Remmel to Cliff Kristol to Wes, and dude, this may be your baton for another 40 years. So that's all I'm telling you. But really, there's that connection, which is really unique. But we might be able to do that. We might be able to trace this franchise both with the Press Gazette and with the Packers with three dudes.
Yeah.
Don't screw it up.
Yeah. Don't mess it up. You know, I think about that a lot, especially, you know, I when I was at the Press Gazette, I wrote Lee's obit, and unfortunately that's why I'm so happy that Cliff wrote that book that's currently out. Be sure to check it out. It's incredible. I edited a couple chapters. I'm waiting after the season to finish up the rest of it. The biggest tragedy we had was Lee Remmel never wrote a book. Lee wrote a lot, and he was etched all upon Packers history, but he never wrote a book. And I really wish he would have, because the amount of history that was lost with his passing is you can't. The stories I've heard from people that have recounted his stories, Lee was incredible. And I always thought about that a lot, John, because not necessarily, I'd never put myself in the category of either of those guys, but to be able to start at the Press Gazette and then come over here, that means a lot to me, because newspapers meant a lot to me. I wanted to work in newspapers. I wanted to be the sports editor of the Press Gazette. That entity, if I would have been born 25 years earlier, I could have worked my entire life there. But unfortunately, a couple things happened, and thankfully, you know, they're still going, and I cheer for them every single day. I have so many good friends over there. But for me, my family, my wife, my son, we had to make a decision. We felt like, you know, it's Green Bay Packers. You can't really get more job stability than that. Right. So here we are. But for Lee then making the jump, and then certainly Cliff, you know, finishing up an incredibly decorated career here. It's amazing. And I really appreciate being able to connect those two dots from the Press Gazette to working here.
Future Packers historian. Wes Kutz.
There you go.
I don't know if I'm going to stick around that long, Trevor.
I like it. No, we've spoken it into existence.
Yeah, it's going to happen.
It's in the universe now.
All right, we'll wrap it up with Wes in just a bit. Come back on. We're Inside Wisconsin.
Inside Wisconsin is brought to you by Bay Care Clinic, Cobblestone Creek, the University of Wisconsin-Platteville, Mill Home Supper Club, Festival Foods, Capital Credit Union, North Star Mohican Casino Resort, American Family Insurance, Roltec, and by Miller Lite.
Helpful critiques, ideas, great stories, people we should know, the great bar in your town, the fish fry you want to know, the fish boil, anything that you want to reach out to us with, we are happy, we are here, you can be the inputters, we're here to listen.
We are back inside Wisconsin, Trevor Thomas, the John Anderson, and the Wes Hodkowitz from Packers.com. I just say the John Anderson because like I think Wes wanted to be John, right? And this is kind of neat how it all came together. Anyway,
I think of the Ohio State University. That's the only proper to use, and I don't even like those bastards.
Me neither. A couple for me, and then it's lightning round with the John Anderson. Wes, are you a Packers owner like myself and John Anderson?
I'm not, but I did buy it for my parents this year. That was a big thing. My parents are both Green Bay people. Outside area of Green Bay, and they did the stocks again, and that was a big thing for Christmas for me. As I wanted to but make them Packers owners finally. They've done so much for me, and this organization has meant so much to my dad specifically that was a big thing for me. So yeah, I'm not, but I did fork over the money to get it for my parents though.
At premium rate, I'm sure. No internal
discounts. No discounts. I paid the full amount.
No free shout outs, no discounts.
So John reminds me every once in a while that we're co-hosting, because we'll talk to guys like you or Barry Alvarez's or Matt Kenseth's, and I just get lost in the fact that I'm sitting here talking with guys like you.
Not
Do you ever get lost?
Matt Kenseth, maybe, but not me.
Yeah, no, I've known you a little longer than I've known Matt Kenseth. That's fair. Wes, do you ever get lost? Do you ever sit there and watch these games from Lambeau Field and go, holy crap, like, what am I doing?
Yeah, I mean, it happened more like after games, like when we used to travel. Like, so here's the deal. COVID's happening. Packers were very gracious. I can go and commercially travel to games if I want, but I'm not allowed on the team charter due to the number of restrictions. But when I always used to go and cover road games, a lot of times we all sort of work our way down to the locker room when guys are coming off the field. And when you see players, you see Aaron Rodgers, you're talking about those candid moments kind of behind the scenes. Those are the moments where it kind of hits you like, this has been something that's been broadcast into 25 million homes or 24 million homes, especially during the playoffs. And we're watching these guys go back into their normal lives now. The game's over, and now they're transitioning to ready to get and go home like anyone else getting done with their job. So that is probably the thing that hits me the most, is when you see stuff behind the scenes that's not on the national cameras, that's not talked about in the features, just guys just being themselves. And I've been fortunate enough now for, you know, last 10 years to cover Aaron Rodgers' career. I mean, I don't know what's going to come after the Aaron Rodgers era ends. But I'll tell you this, I don't know if I'm going to cover another quarterback quite like that, at least from a talent standpoint. The guy's maybe the best that's ever done it from a pure total package aspect, with the athleticism, the brain, the talent, you know, the accuracy. He's second to none. So that's the part I think that never gets lost on me, is just that you are witnessing history and you are being given a front row seat to seeing all these things unfold and being able to document it and do your best to remember those moments. And the fact that a lot of those moments have been galvanizing for me. I remember the good and the bad for the Packers organization, whether it was the 2014 NFC Championship game in Seattle, being at CenturyLink, thinking that I'm getting ready to go cover a Super Bowl, or, you know, the 2013 regular season finale where Aaron Rodgers just pulls a rabbit out of his hat and John Kuhn blocks Julius Peppers at the exact right moment to be able to find Randall Cobb for a touchdown. Those moments, the things that make fans go just scream, that's the fun part of this, because you never know what's going to happen any given Sunday.
We talked about this a little bit in the last segment. This is my last one. You grew up here. John grew up here. I grew up here. We get Wisconsin. There is not a place like Wisconsin in regards to Packers fans and sports fans. Do you feel the pressure of bringing it to life for Wisconsin? Because it's just different here. Wes, how do you view this idea of statriotism covering the Packers for Packers.com?
It's cool, because talking about Domofsky a little bit, him and I have discussed this too. We get metrics. We get all the numbers on what our site does compared to the rest of the NFL. I know Rob gets the same numbers for what his stories will do on ESPN.com. The Packers, despite the fact that it's 100,000 people in the Green Bay area specifically, still outperform basically everyone in the NFL. I think we're number two behind Dallas. I think maybe Rob's number two behind maybe New England. I'll probably get that wrong. But the amount of people in the eyeballs and the fact that they care, there's a lot of team websites out there. People don't care. They could write the best feature ever. They could write the biggest news story ever. They could do whatever they want on that website to try to get engagement, get viewers, get fans. Ain't going to happen. Green Bay, that's the one thing I've tried to always, when you talk about the humility side of it, is there's always going to be an insatiable desire for the content. When I got hired on, when I got promoted to Packers in 2012, I had 900 Twitter followers. Now I think it's like somewhere around 50 or something, 50,000. I'm sorry. It didn't go down 850. It actually went up. But it's like, That's not me, right? That's the Packers. And understanding that that's what people want. They want to be able to track that content. They want to be able, they care how David Bakhtiari is doing with his knee injury. They mm-hmm. want to know what's going on with Jaire Alexander, Za'Darius Smith every single day. They don't just care about who the quarterback is. They care about the punter. And that is fun. That is cool, because it isn't always like that in every media market. And it's neat to be a part of that.
That's cool.
Yeah, insatiable is the right word. You just got to feed the monster, and no detail is too small. I tell people all the time around here. Good guy, one of our researchers, just an example, and Jason, the Dolphins. He's a Dolphin fan, grew up in Miami, and you know they just fired their coach. So he had news going on, but those people really have an off season. I tell him, you realize if you live in Green Bay and you don't leave with the Packers on July 7th, people are going to flip the channel to see who's got Packer news, even if it's July 7th. And you're like, but there's not an OTA. There's not a mini camp. The draft's over. But we still need to know something.
Yes.
So in that regard, it's crazy. Before I get, I got a couple other follow-ups because, you know, I'm Mr. Note Taker as I
like
call it because it's crazy.
Like it.
First off, when you said the good and the bad, you're how old? You're 30. You've never seen bad. So you can I don't know that you've ever seen bad.
I got into a fight with, not a fight, but I got into a discussion with somebody about this on Twitter, though. Not seen bad with the Packers. But okay. I did joke with somebody. I was at Jeffrey Hammond's bobblehead day after Jeffrey Hammond's had already been cut from the Brewers. Like yeah. I've seen some of those. But you're right. In terms of the Green Bay Packers, the fact that you go 30 years with Brett Favre and Aaron Rodgers, I don't remember anything different.
Right. And then you talked about the things you see behind the deal that you – So I'm just telling you, if Cliff Kristol's book is 1,000 pages, the things he knows, that would be 2,000 pages that he doesn't tell. And you've got some of that, I'm sure, and that's part of the business. There are things you know that aren't really newsworthy for other people. But the stuff you know compared to the stuff you say, that book sometimes is a lot thicker.
It is, yeah. And that's just the way it goes. I mean, that's when you ask anybody, and I mean, you know, I'm not saying I know where all the bodies are buried or anything like that, but sure. It is. It is interesting, and that's journalism, because there's also, it is what you know, and it's also what you can put names and attribution behind too. So, but I also think it's important to know where that line is. I think one of the reasons we've seen a lot of people get in trouble here is, you know, sometimes blurring that and not understanding the full story and then trying to act like you do.
Give me the first Packer game you ever went to.
The Yancey Pigpen game. Not even joking. Against the Steelers. That's the first game I've ever been to.
Good. You and I were both there.
Were we really?
Yeah, we were both there. Even though I was living in Arizona, we were both there. Give me the best UWGB hoops player ever.
Well, I mean, Tony Bennett, right? Hey, Kiefer Sykes, shout out to Kiefer Sykes. He's currently playing for the Pacers, finishing out the season with them. That's awesome.
Well, we're getting hit. He'll be on in no time.
He's a good
one.
Got
him. Yeah. You boast, I'm going to say it, boast that you were on the dean's list at UWG 7 out of 8 semesters. What happened to that other semester? What were we taking? What was the problem?
I did some computer science that semester, John, and that was a mistake.
53-man roster right now. Give me the guy that I would want as a groomsman.
I would go with Robert Tonyan.
Because?
Well, one, he's a gentleman. Two, he's also he has such a good, wry sense of humor. And I think people have gotten a feel for that a little bit more. Now, unfortunately, Robert tore his ACL this year. But last year, I thought you saw his personality come up more, especially with some of the stuff he's doing with George Kittle. I don't know if you caught any of some of the stuff, the videos he's done with him. A really nice dude, but also a guy that I think is a pretty fun personality as well.
Good. At any point this year, have you gone up to Aaron and just gone, what the hell?
I'm not.
Okay. Are you closer to Kroll's East or Kroll's West?
Kroll's West.
Okay, good.
The Kroll's, by the way.
Pardon me?
The Kroll's. Kroll's West is the Kroll's. Like Kroll's, the Ohio
Kroll's,
State.
You're right. Kroll's East is the original Kroll's. That is correct. On the other side of town. Bruce Arians says it's a travesty if Tom Brady doesn't win the MVP. If Tom Brady wins the MVP, you say that's what?
Can I say Am I allowed to say
This is like cable.
No, I think it would be – I don't think he – the way he played down the stretch, my fantasy team can speak to this. The way he played down the stretch does not merit an MVP. I would also probably add that I don't know if I necessarily would take anything that Bruce Arians says at face value.
This is a standard one. Name two players better for the Badgers than Joe Thomas.
Oh, my goodness.
Exactly. Can't be done. We'll move on.
Snuck.
And this is the last one. Next time you draft somebody from Missouri, go into the war room, whoever you got to see, tell Goody, call Anderson first.
Okay.
Who told them that Jamon Moore could catch?
Would you have been able to call that? If they would have had you on the bat phone, you would have told them, isn't, this is not a great idea.
He gets drafted in the fourth round, and the first thing all my buddies do are like, did they ever see this guy play? Why have they drafted him? He can't catch. And I'm like, it's going to take about 3 days before Aaron Rodgers goes, I'm not throwing to that guy again.
Really, really nice guy. Very self-aware.
Super nice guy.
Unfortunately, it didn't work out for Jamon. They got MVS, though. That helped.
Super guy. And he'll make a spectacular catch, but he'll drop the ones that you toss underhanded with a Nerf ball that he throw you. Anyway. And even if West is good, just remember the Kroll's East was the first one.
Okay.
Nice.
I've been to Kroll's East too. Kroll's East does a fine job. But yes, I'm more towards the West. That is the one that I typically will refer to
as Kroll's. That's it. Perfect. You're right in line. There are no wrong answers here. Well, on occasion there are. Like if you try to name more better than Joe Thomas, but that's a running joke on them.
I can't wait to talk to
you. Whoever thinks Joe Thomas, would you have him like 98th on your list of great Badgers?
Fifth.
Is that true?
Five.
Who is ahead of him?
Four guys a Hall of Famer. Were ahead of him. Yeah, got it. Wes, hey, good to see you, bud.
Hey, it was
glad
fun.
You're here. Wes Hodgkiewicz, Packers.com. Buddy, I want to see you with a little bling next time we talk to you. Let's go get a ring, huh?
I can like remove this one and like move it over and then like do a different one there.
Caitlin might get upset by that, but
that's fantastic. Hey, we're gonna be watching and I'll be getting in the Packer feeds and just be listening for Aaron. What the hell? Thank you, brother. Appreciate it.
Thank you guys. I appreciate it.
See you, Wes.
See ya.
Shut up and sit down.
So there's Wes Hodgkiewicz,
yep.
And there's Cliff Kristol, and then there's yep. John Anderson, who all you guys are walking, talking sports Wisconsin encyclopedias. I can't keep up.
Well, I don't know necessarily that. Some of it is just, you know, you live through things and they make an impact on you at your certain age, right? Like when I grew up, that sports was everything to me. And I tell people that I remember stuff that happened much better in 1972 when the Packers won the division, right, and played the Redskins in the playoffs, then Redskins, now Washington football team, than I do last week. It just depends how it makes an impact on you. So, but sort of along the lines of the you said Wes, and we're working backwards, and Cliff, and then before that, Lee Remmel. I thought for John Wisconsin, I'd have a reading, okay? But so my folks, my mother especially, and I do this now, when my kids were born, I got the newspaper. So I have things like on file, the Green Bay Press Gazette from when JFK died.
Oh, wow.
I have the Green Bay Press Gazette from when man walked on the moon. And so here I have the Green Bay Press Gazette from September 3rd, 1970, when Vince Lombardi passed away.
Wow.
I told you, I have some stuff around here that you wouldn't believe.
Where do you keep all this? And I hope you have good insurance.
Right?
That's
I also
incredible.
Have Art Starr's retirement day.
Don't touch that. Put that away. Why are you touching that?
So I thought I'd read some Lee Remmel. And it's not that I'm melancholy, but I just thought, there it is. Vince built a dynasty. I just thought since we're starting the playoffs and we're going for the Lombardi Trophy, that we could, you know, we could just read a little of some Lee Remmel.
Take us back, Jay. That's
don't
great.
Don't you think Wes was wishing he was on here right now to hear that?
Yeah, he'll see this.
Yeah, the byline is Lee Remmel. Vincent Thomas Lombardi, claimed today by the ravages of cancer, forged the greatest dynasty in pro football history in the sport's smallest city. A native New Yorker, he was lured to Green Bay in 1959 by the promise of sweeping authority in resuscitating the Packers, then at the lowest ebb in their 40-year existence. 40-year existence. Now we're more than
a wow.
His subsequent rise from the role of an obscure assistant coach with the Giants to an awesome legend in his own time is a story unparalleled in the annals of sport. A man of formidable purpose and total dedication, Lombardi restored the Packers to respectability in one season, then set about creating a dynasty. And there's all of the official friends mourn the death of Lombardi. Here's Dominic Olenicek talking about it. Here's the mayor of the city, the governor.
And you have that. Man.
So just a little thing. As you can see, it's yellowed some over the years.
A little bit, maybe.
This paper is now more than 52 years old. But just a little something from the John Wisconsin Archives
that
I have here at the house. So you think I just have a lot of vanity stuff. Like, oh, look, here's John's book or John, no, I have stuff too. A great sense of
wow. That's really
that
cool.
Goes back in the folder and back in the vault, as it were.
It better be in the vault. I hope.
Yeah, so I just thought maybe in the spirit of Wes, in the spirit of Cliff Kristol, in the spirit of Lee Remmel, we'd do that and wish the Packers well on their way to winning the Lombardi Trophy.
I would say that if we're going to be blessed by some spirits, you just listed a few that we could afford to have around from time to time.
Wisconsin. That's all I got.
Unbelievable.
Today.
Pretty incredible. Well, Go Pack Go. We appreciate you guys following and listening and commenting and all the things. YouTube.com/InsideWisconsin. Click subscribe. Oh, man, I hope our predictions are right. Until next time, Wisconsin, as you were, Go Pack.
Inside Wisconsin is brought to you by Bay Care Clinic, Cobblestone Creek, the University of Wisconsin-Platteville, Mill Home Supper Club, Festival Foods, Capital Credit Union, North Star Mohican Casino Resort, American Family Insurance, Roll Tech, and by Miller Lite.
Shut up and sit down.